Vol'jin said I should step out of the shadows, so I did. Here I am asking you to join the fight. For the Horde! And for the Forsaken. Welcome to Corpse Run Radio.
Your queen appreciates your allegiance. We are the Forsaken. Grand Nagus.
I don't know if I told you when we met at BlizzCon, but I didn't know that you were there. I only knew the name of the panel, but didn't know
with
who it was. So when I came and I there and sat down like all the way in the back because all the seats up front were taken, then I thought this is my one and only chance. So when it came to you guys doing your voice lines, I slowly but surely started to jump the seats like from row to row so I could be up at the front when your session was over on the stage, so I could like maybe get to talk to you. And it was like if you had a camera, you could see that like a rogue or a spy would like come up closer and closer to its target. So it was like
that's funny. Here's you sneaking.
Yeah. So
they're like, what is that? Who is that moving from chair to chair? Is that our Grand Nagus? I think it is. I think they're these now. He's up to the fourth row.
This is Corpse Run Radio.
We are the Forsaken.
We are the Forsaken.
Ours is a cycle of hatred. Alliances forged and broken. We have paid the price for sharing this world. And we have forgotten what makes us strong.
Close ranks! Advance has won! Mordoron will be ours!
My king, we have her cornered.
Keep firing!
sister of the Windrunner family, born with a bow in her hand. She was always the first in line when evil threatened the land. When Arthas tried to take her homeland, she fought him to the death. When the smoke all cleared from the battlefield, Sylvanas took her final breath. Hasn't ended and her wrath is yet unseen. She collects the bodies of the dead and raises them with her power. A growing army left unchecked that thirsts for the final hour. And evil lurks beneath the glade. Tears fall, the lady calmly waits. She waits to take her final turn. When we return from Draenor, Azeroth will burn.
Hello, fellow Forsaken, or still living listeners. Today is most likely the highlight of my entire Blizzard gamer and podcast career. I am humbled to have someone with me that needs no introduction. The first guest ever in this podcast's history of 91 episodes, and I can't think of anyone more appropriate than this one. All I say at this point is, welcome to Corpse Run Radio. Patty Madsen.
God, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
Like I said in our little pre-chat, I'm like so beyond myself, it's not even funny.
I'm excited to be here.
First of all, I would want to say that I'm very grateful for the time that you took to come and chat with me. It's like when I hear you speak, and I've listened to last year's BlizzCon podium discussion, the first time you opened your mouth and spoke, it was like, there is this, it's Sylvanas, it's like your natural voice has that hint of the Dark Lady's voice. And that's like sends chills down my spine. It's so awesome to see that you don't even have to change your voice that much to have that hint of her voice.
There's a little bit of an adjustment because she speaks with a bit of an accent.
Yeah.
So you're adding a little bit of that, you know, that accent in dropping her. And she has a little more nasality. And it depends on what she's saying, because there are some moments they have lightness and something that's kind of funny. And, you know, obviously the more serious storyline of her. And those kind of give her a little bit of range within that spectrum.
Yeah, we kind of noticed that when she came to the Nexus in Heroes of the Storm.
I started playing Sylvanas 12 years ago. I've been playing her for almost 12 years. So it was a long time ago I started playing her. But her voice direction as far as what she did or what her voice did has evolved a little bit. And I would say it started tipping into a new sort of evolution at Heroes of the Storm. But I also think that's because Sylvanas became more prominent. Like, she started to become someone that you heard more rather than, you know, one of the characters involved. But she started to become a little more featured. I mean, she was always there.
Could you give us a short overview over what Patty Madsen, the singer, actor, voiceover actor, and I don't know if I missed anything, is all about outside of the Blizzard universe?
Yeah, I mean, look, I started when I was like 6 years old doing comedy and monologues of these characters, Edith Ann and Ernestine, that were done by Lily Tomlin in my grade school. And I remember getting my first standing ovation in the first grade. And I was like probably hooked at that point because it was so fun to be a part of that. And things, I went to a theater school in junior high. So I only went to math and English in regular school. And then I took the bus down to the theater school, which was a really great experience. I wish I could have stayed a little longer. But music, you know, there's always a crossroad in someone's life where it's like, what thing takes over? And for me, it was the music. So I started to turn in a musical direction in my teens, got into bands and such. And then I had some producers that I worked with, a few notable. One of my first ones was Des Dickerson of Prince and the Revolution. And he sort of took me under his wing in my late teens. And we had a project that we were working on. And then I was called out to Los Angeles to work on a record with a band at that time called the Boys Club, because I had a friend who was doing that record. And, you know, he's like, hey, come sing some, you know, backgrounds on our record. And I was so excited. And I remember coming out to LA and just being really smitten with the weather, you know, having grown up in Minnesota with the weather and so many aspects of it, that I was really left at a crossroads, right? Like, do you stay? I had some producers approach me here in Los Angeles at the time. Do you stay in Los Angeles or do you go back to Minneapolis and finish the project that Des and I had been working on? But it had been a good year that we were working on that. And I ended up making the decision to stay in Los Angeles. But I'll always wonder, where would your career road have gone had you taken this other turn? And having said that, I just continued to, you know, do music and had any number of producers and crazy scenarios that happened. I finally got to do my own records in 2010, 11, 12. I finally just did a few records of my own, but really more for licensing. I think at that point, record deals are sort of recording success in the get a record deal sort of world had sort of left my mind. I mean, when I was younger, that's what you did. If you were a musician, you went for a recording contract and then so that your songs could get on the radio and then you could make a living through your music. But if that doesn't happen, which can be difficult, you know, I ended up doing any number of projects, but finally the three records that I did primarily for licensing, and that's what's on my website. But, you know, it can be costly to get that stuff done. So I'll probably maybe do another one here going forward, but we'll see, because I started in music and it sort of morphed into voiceover. Even though I went to theater school as a young girl and I had that background, kind of that string throughout, I didn't pursue voiceover necessarily. I did musical session work and I ended up doing all these parody soundalikes for Premiere Radio and Clear Channel and the amazing Rob Eisenberg. He's such a good little writer. I mean, he just wrote this funny, crazy stuff. So I got a chance to do all these different voices, and I'm kind of a nutty personality. So while you're in that session doing that, I'd always be messing around and doing like, hey, what's going on? Or, oh my God. Or, hey, are you going to do that, darling? I'd be always doing these crazy voices. And I just ended up getting, oh, hey, you want to play these puppets? And I'm like, okay, these puppets speak in rhymes. Okay. And if you can sing, well, that's helpful. So it just, I ended up with a voiceover reel. And so I pursued an agent and I did go to a number of top level voiceover classes just to really get my wheels underneath me. Even though I had so much studio experience, you really have to show a level of reverence to the skills that are necessary for this specific aspect of it. So I went to a bunch of classes with really some great people, from Mark Cashman to Kalmanson, Carol Kimball over at Carol Casting, Robin Armstrong's group, a number of places where you really, you know, can get into the finer points of this stuff. And then I just, voiceover kind of just took over. And before you knew it, you know, one gig leads to another gig leads to another gig. And you have to audition for all this stuff. So you can do a lot of auditions as opposed to what you, you know, you're booking. You get a, you know, because there's so many. At a certain level, this talent is terrific. I mean, you're working with some really amazing people. You're like, okay, that was so great.
I've been listening to the podcast Talking Tunes for Rob Paulsen. Rob Paulsen, Pinky and the Brain. And he always has these voiceover actors on his shows. And they talk about, obviously, voice acting and like you did. And there is so many things, like you said, where you think as an actor that it's not going to happen. And then you get it. And then the other way around. And, and it doesn't matter. Maurice LaMarche, the voice of the Brain, and Rob himself, they have to audition. So sure, because you never know if you are the right fit with your talents, with what you can do to fill that.
Guys, yeah, when you've got guys like J.P. Karliak and J.B. Blanc and, you know, like you mentioned here, these guys are all terrific. They're terrific. I mean, and so there's a something that directors and writers look for that none of us really know. Go and bring to it what your thing is, but only they know when they're listening to this stuff what that little bit of different something is that the person who gets that job brings to it. The whether it's completely flat monotone, if it's over the top crazy, and sometimes the in-between improv that folks do and that they themselves would bring to something is the clincher. And other gigs, they don't want any of that. They want you to bring to life what's on the script without going too far into your own embellishments, because the writers work very hard to bring to life what they've put on that paper. I like to respect what's on the paper. And that certainly I have ideas in my head of cool things I could bring to it. But they, you know, these writers are so talented that you're like, I want to bring to life, you know, give it pre-life. You know, someone's running into the room. She sets down the pencil. John! You know, she beats on the door. These kinds of things that bring pre-life to somebody running up to get to the door. But don't rob the script of what's been written in front of you. But you just never know if that's the right choice. The point is that somebody might go in with some really nutty improv and they love it.
Yeah, I mean, improv, Robin Williams, obviously.
Oh, he's so wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, and I don't know if you know this, but Blizzard put a egg from Mork and Mindy, his egg, in the game to like commemorate him.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah,
so it is so beautiful, right? I mean, super duper talented. You know, the mind of a writer, to me, is a different mind. And not every actor does improv. Most of them do improv, but you know what I mean? There's a level of some people are really improv people. Some people are really dramatic people. Yeah. Some people are just awesome with comedy, but more have a stand-up approach. And each of these elements takes a thing. And that thing takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy and thought and for some folks, it just rolls right out of their face, and others not so much. So Robin was such a talented improviser. I mean, the stuff that would fly out of his face was like, okay, what? It's just, you know, crazy town, fun, manic, tons of stuff, creation just pouring forth. Very cool.
Yeah, it's so sad that we lost him, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Robin, how you doing, buddy? We love you. We love you.
Forsaken at her hand, and now time for gain.
we, if not slaves to this torment?
Suffer well through the night. You can flee from the fight. I am the windrunner. Aim the true, let none survive. Know the horn will never die. I am the windrunner. The Legion came. Watch the war and she bones and fall. Took the title from his call. Now she leaves. Will you suffer in this life? If you don't, in your next life, you'll join her race. Suffer well through the night. You can flee from the fight. I am the windrunner. Aim it true, let none survive. Know the horn will never die. I am the windrunner.
Greymane's forces hold this warden tower. Break their ranks, show no mercy.
No doubt I am your favorite windrunner, sister. Right? Right?
Suffer well through the night. You can't flee from the fight. Aim it true, let none survive.
Plans? Little old me? What sort of plans could I possibly have?
Suffer well through the night. You can flee from the fight.
From the fight!
I am the windrunner. Aim it true, let none survive. Though the horn will never die. I am the windrunner.
You started at Blizzard at around, what is it, patch 3.2 with the Crusade, where you also portrayed the Argent Confessor, Paltrus?
Paltrus, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was one before Paltrus, so I did one session. And, you know, for me, it comes in as sessions. It was so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But even I myself was like, wow, what was that? Mm-hmm. Where were we, you know, back then?
Yeah.
It was one, and then that next where there was a little work on Paltrus, and then from there it moved forward.
So did they give you the two characters as a package deal, so to speak? Did they ask you to do Sylvanas and then say, well, we have this minor character, would you do that as well? Or how can you remember how that went?
You know, most of the time in a session in voiceover, oftentimes there's a certain amount of characters a given production is allowed for the budget. So like you can do three. And so if you're capable of doing three, then they're going to try to pull you into that. If your main character is fairly prominent, it might be something small, mm-hmm. or just a few lines of something, right? So that you can fulfill that three character obligation whenever possible, but not have it touch into or anywhere too close to the key character that you're playing. But these things can vary. I mean, it depends. You go, and I didn't know that there was, when I went into the session, I did not know that there was going to be another character, but that can always happen. Mm-hmm. Where there's a few lines or there's something, some lightweight thing. Usually if it's a little heavier lifting kind of character, you'll have to audition for that.
Mm-hmm.
It won't just be something that you're doing while you're there. Yeah, it can go both ways.
Hello, everyone. Been teasing this one for quite a while, and very excited to finally show you Sylvanas Edge of Night. This short story is available for free on the WoW website, and it's a key moment in the Dark Lady's past, giving her a new motivation after she got her vengeance upon Arthas. With machinima by the one and only Kaelis, voice acting from Sharm, Zarkput, Nora Sunstrider, and Mukluk, model rigging from Master Vertex, all the hype, I hope you'll enjoy.
Sylvanas Windrunner drifts in a sea of comforts, physical sensations replaced by the purity of emotion. She can grasp bliss, see joy, hear peace. This is the afterlife, her destiny, the eternal sea in which she found herself after she fell defending Silvermoon. She belongs here. With each recollection, her memory of this place pulses. The sounds grow distant, the warmth cooler. The vision takes on the pallor of a half-remembered dream. But with horrific clarity, the memory always ends the same. Sylvanas' spirit is wrenched away. The pain is so intense, it leaves her soul forever torn. The grinning face of Arthas Menethil, with his lopsided smile and dead eyes, leers at her as he pulls her back into the world, violates her. His laughter, that hollow laugh, the memory of it makes her skin crawl.
You son of a bitch!
Sylvanas hollered, kicking aside a shattered piece of the Lich King's frozen armor. Her voice, empty and terrifying, cracked under the strain of her hatred. The sound echoed across the peaks of Ice Crown, rolling through the valleys like the cloying mist that forever haunted this horrible place. She adventured here alone, to his former seat of power, to the very top of Ice Crown Citadel, where a frozen throne loomed on a plateau of white ice. Of course, that egotistical little boy she knew would place himself here, sitting atop the world. But where was he now? Shattered. She could no longer feel his malevolence tugging at the edges of her consciousness. His broken armor lay in pieces on the white peak before his throne, surrounded with blackened cake of frozen gore, the remains of those who had finally brought him to his knees. Sylvanas regretted not being there to see him broken. She picked up a shattered gauntlet from the very hand that had once gripped Frostmourne. He is finally dead. But why does it feel so hollow inside? Why did she throb with rage? She hurled the armor from the peak, watching it disappear into the roiling mists. She was not alone. 9 glimmering spirits encircled the pinnacle, their masked faces turned towards her, their ephemeral forms held aloft on graceful, insubstantial wings. They were the Valkyr, warrior maidens of old, once enslaved to the will of Arthas. Why did they remain in this place? Sylvanas neither knew nor cared. They stayed out of her way, absolutely mute, immobile, even as Sylvanas hollered and raged. Were they watching her? Judging? She ignored them and crunched through the snow to the very seat of Arthas' power. Someone else sat atop the throne. Sylvanas at first thought it was Arthas' corpse, planted mockingly in his place of honor and sealed in a block of ice. But the silhouette was all wrong. She approached the throne and wiped her hand across the surface of the ice, peering at the distorted figure within. Human, yes, she recognized the profile of an alliance shoulder plate, but the body was very badly burned, the flesh split open like roasted meat. He wore Arthas' crown, and his eyes, that flicker of consciousness.
They have replaced him.
A new Lich King sat on the throne. Again, Sylvanas cried out, shock growing into explosive rage. She smashed the flat of her hand against the ice, then her fists. The ice cracked. The immobile face within split open behind a web of fractures. Her howls faded, disappearing hollowly into the mist that enveloped the peak. They replaced him. Does this mean there will always be a Lich King? Idiots! Naively presuming that the puppet king wouldn't someday begin twisting the world to his own ends. Or worse, become a blunt weapon for something even more terrible. It was a bitter blow. She expected to venture here in triumph, not to discover another defeat. The victory was hollow, but she backed away from the throne, straightened up and accepted that the cycle would go on. Arthas was dead. What did it matter if another corpse filled his vacant throne? Sylvanas Windrunner had her vengeance. The vision that had driven her and her people for years had finally been realized, and not a single fiber of her desiccated, animate corpse cared where the world went from here. It was over now. A part of her was surprised she was even still around, without his lingering presence always tugging at the back of her mind. She backed away from the throne and slowly turned to survey the cold gray world all around her. Her thoughts returned to their place of bliss, her half-remembered glimpse of what lay beyond. Home. It was time. Slowly, she crunched her way to the ragged edge of the icy platform, 1,000 feet below, shrouded by the clouds, lay a forest of shattered serenite spikes that she'd scouted out earlier. The fall alone couldn't kill her. Her animate flesh was nigh indestructible. But the spikes, the heart and blood of an old god, they not only would tear the body apart, but would obliterate the soul as well. She longed for it. A return to peace. The work she'd begun in the Forest of Silvermoon was finally complete with the death of Arthas. She lifted her bow from her shoulder and cast it aside. It clattered against the uneven ice. Then she removed her quiver. Arrows spilled from it, cascading down the side of Icecrown Citadel, disappearing one by one into the fog. The empty quiver dropped quietly to the ground at her feet. Her red dark cloak, freed from her discarded armaments, began to whip around her neck in the bitter winds. She could feel no cold, only a dull ache. She would feel nothing soon. She already felt her spirit reaching a place of calm for the first time in almost a decade. Her weight shifted towards the edge of the drop. She closed her eyes. As one, the Valkyr silently turned to face her.
Forward!
The marshal cried, his command cut short as a musket ball shattered his lower jaw. The wall before him was broken, but still offered cover for the snipers hidden in the rain above. The weather poured from the sky in white sheets, drenching attackers and defenders alike. The marshal toppled over, careened down a pile of rubble like a sack of cordwood, coming to rest in the thick mud below. Like the bogged-down demolishers and meat wagons of his artillery, his troops were making no progress. Any normal man would have been dead for sure, but being that the marshal was already dead, he soon clawed his way up from the mud, spitting coagulated blood and ichor from the remains of his face. To the north, across a long stretch of rutted field, and on the other side of a gauzy filter of rain, Garrosh Hellscream tried to piece together what was happening along the front. He could see the grey silhouette of the great Gilnean wall, slotted with enormous diagonal gaps where the cataclysm had wrenched it open. Were his Corcron at the front, they would have walked right through. He grunted as a Forsaken scouting party trottled back through the mud, ragged and beaten. Even in victory, the Forsaken looked like corpses. In defeat, they looked even worse.
Your scouts are useless! I sent them to harass the wall's defenses, and they crawled back like whipped dogs!
Garrosh snorted, not even looking at his companion. The great brown-skinned orc was festooned in his most menacing battle garb, his veiny, tattooed biceps bursting out from beneath tusked shoulder guards. Although he stood right in front of his tent, he refused to step back out of the rain. It dribbled over his scowling face and blackened jaw. Next to the great orc, and sheltered under the tent's canopy, Master Apothecary Leiden looked positively frail. His pockmarked face winced under a matted mess of purple-gray hair as he tried to formulate a response that wouldn't earn him another round of verbal abuse from the war chief.
I can assure you they're giving as good as they get. Gilnean defenses are almost certainly in disarray.
Then why are your scouts limping back instead of pressing forward?
Garrosh kicked aside a barrel. Behind him, his own troops weathered out the rain. Four companies of elite handpicked orc and tarn warriors, supported by five battalions of Orgrimmar's hardest. They stretched over the fields of silver pine, a sea of green and brown faces against the backdrop of bright red banners.
And where are the promised regiments from Lordaeron? They're to flood the breach! We waste time!
Leiden knew better than to talk tactics with the hard-headed warchief, but he had grown desperate as the hour of the attack had approached. He licked his grey lips with a dark purple tongue and tried to answer casually, hoping to elicit some reason.
Slowed by the rain, no doubt, but they should arrive soon. They are absolutely Lordaeron's finest. The very heart of our infantry and backbone of our entire endeavor.
Garrosh stroked the side of his face with his knuckles. He eyed the terrain and mentally positioned the coming infantry and cavalry as Leiden spoke.
But you can't just send them right into the central breach in the wall. It's a choke point. Well fortified, closely watched. Heavy armored troops on horseback could never maneuver through the breach. They'd be mowed down by musket fire from the debris. Surely you can see.
Of course I see! The door is wedged open. Now it must be kicked down! This is what your kind is good for.
Now the warchief looked directly at the master apothecary, his cool eyes fixated on the pale yellow light that filled the letter's eye sockets.
You're already corpses, nearly impossible to kill. You flood the choke point. You open the way for the rest of the horde to come through. Fresh and eager, rushing over a bridge of broken bodies if we have to. This is how fortifications are breached, how wars are won.
The master apothecary lifted up two bony fingers.
But if we could just use just a touch of the plague, just to open a gap, not even do any, just a smudge. More to cause fear and panic than any actual...
Garrosh's backhand ripped through the sky, spraying the tent with a glistening arc of rainwater as it smashed into the side of Lydon's face. The master apothecary reeled as if he'd been kicked by a horse, but Mawil alone managed to stay upright after the blow.
If you're suggesting using even an ounce of that filth you've got hidden away, I will burn you and your sewer city to the ground.
Garrosh grunted. He turned back towards the action. Humiliated, Master Apothecary Lydon muttered a barely audible,
"Yes, War Chief,"
through clenched teeth. But privately, he coiled up his anger. Where is the Dark Lady Sylvanas? He wondered, turning his empty eye sockets toward the grey heavens. Why isn't she here to counter this beast? Sylvanas tottered on the edge of Icecrown's Peak. Her eyes closed, she raised her arms. Although the wind here was biting cold, she felt only the dullest of aches. She sensed a presence nearby and opened her eyes. The Valkyr had drifted close to her, close enough that she could see the weapons glinting against the ghostly thighs. What did they want? Without warning, a vision filled her head, a memory. She found herself in a warm, sun-drenched bedroom. Shafts of golden sunlight spilled through the window, illuminating the aimless motes of dust and casting ornate patterns on the floor. This was her room. A lifetime ago, she had not yet seen her 20th autumn, yet already young Sylvanas was the most promising hunter in her family. She pulled on her thigh-high leather boots, carefully measuring the laces and decoratively tying them. She adjusted the leaf-patterned embroidery, then bounced herself off of the bed to admire her reflection in the mirror. Her waist-length blonde hair, it flowed like water, absolutely translucent in the light of the sun. She beamed at the mirror, teasing her hair until it danced around her long slender ears in just the perfect way. It wasn't good enough to be the best hunter in her family. She needed to take everyone's breath away as she ventured out. She was so very vain. It was a strange, forgotten memory, and it brought Sylvanas back from the edge of the peak. What had prompted that reflection? That life was lost a thousand times over. Another memory flooded her senses. Now she crouched behind an outcropping of smooth stone within the Eversong woods. The autumnal foliage rustled above her, masking the sounds of her companion's footsteps as he dashed forwards and then fell into hiding beside her.
"There are so many!"
he barked, falling silent as she raised a finger. "We have only 2 dozen ranges up there," he said, his voice now a whisper. "They cannot survive that." Sylvanas didn't turn her gaze away from the dark mass of shambling corpses, crushing his way closer to the river forts. It was the height of the Third War, and hours away from Silvermoon's fall at the hands of Arvis' army.
"They merely need to delay them as we fortify the Sunwell's defense."
"They will die."
"They are arrows in the quiver. They must be spent if we are to win this."
She was brash. Empty? No, a fighter. She had a warrior's heart. Now, as sudden as the last, a firm memory.
"Rightful heirs of Lordaeron!"
Sylvanas called out, holding her bow aloft. Her forearm, still slender and muscular, was now a shade of blue-gray. Death. The scene was very different now. The vision had the cold sheen of a memory lift after death. Before her waited a grotesque, quivering mass of corpses, their armor piecemeal, their bodies broken, the stench unimaginable. Their plaintive, desperate gazes reminded her suddenly of children. They disgusted her, but their need empowered her.
"The Leech King falters. Your will is your own. Are you to be outcast now in your own land? Or do we embrace the cruel cards fate has dealt us and retake our place in this world?"
Her questions were greeted with gargles, then a rasping, almost desperate cheer. Bony fist lifted towards the sky. These poor people. Peasants, farmers, priests, warriors, lords and nobles. They hadn't yet come to grips with what happened to them. But for somebody, anybody, to assure them that they belonged somewhere was electrifying.
We are abandoned. We are forsaken. But when the sun rises tomorrow, the capital will be ours.
She pronounced, and now they roared.
But what of the humans?
A young alchemist asked as the din faded. Sylvanas recognized him from the previous night's fighting. A cool intelligence flickered in his eye sockets. Leiden was his name. Already, he had come to embrace the situation, referring to the humans as if they were a separate race. She made a mental note to make use of him.
The humans will serve their purpose. They believe they are liberating the city. Let them fight on our behalf and spend themselves for our gain. They are.
She stumbled upon an analogy that she had used before.
Arrows in our quiver.
The heaving mass of undead clapped and coughed and hacked gleefully in assent. Sylvanas regarded the whole mob coldly. And so are you, she thought to herself. Arrows, I will aim at Arvs' heart. Still, a warrior's heart. She had grown cold. No, she was the same, in death as in life. Sylvanas shook her head, cleared her vision. These were her memories, but she wasn't remembering them. They were being pulled from her. Pulled from her by the Valkyr. The mute spirits hovered around her, regarding her silently. They are probing me, Sylvanas realized. Judging me! She drew cold air into her lungs, her eyes suddenly alive.
I will not be judged,
she cried out, turning away from the edge to face her accusers.
Not by you, not by anyone.
Her fury welled up inside her. Would her banshee's wail work against these things? But she didn't need to fight at all. She was done.
Stay back, and stay out of my head.
Sylvanas stepped back, the wind whipping her hair and snapping her frayed cloak. The memories of who she had been and what she'd become closed a knot in her stomach, and she moved now to unravel it. No more would she be the vengeful leader of a mongrel race of rotted corpses. Her work was done, and her long-denied reward awaited her. Longing for that forgotten bliss, she allowed herself to fall backward from the top of Ice Crown Citadel. The wind rushed past her, a growing wail, the pinnacle and the silent Valkyrie at its peak disappeared. Her body burst on the serenite stones below with a crushing finality.
And so, the Dark Lady froze herself from the top of Ice Crown. But of course, this would not be the end of her journey. The why, the how, and what happened next will continue next week. So for now, thank you very much for watching, everyone. Subscribe if you like my videos, leave a like if you enjoyed this one, and until next time, guys. See ya!
My God, it's you. Never thought I'd ever see you, so I wrote upon your statue to remember how we were. How could I forget Alaria, big sister, ranger general? Do you see me? I've been in Undercity with the Forsaken who follow me. My old life's over, you see. I remember how it felt before the Lich King ruined me. I'm still your sister under this and a Windrunner. Took over Lord of I'm called Dark Lady, and it's too late for me to return now to Silver Moon. I'm sorry, I miss the forest, and I miss the family we had before everything just happened. Listen to my lamenting inside my music box. And I still wear my name with pride. I'm undead but still on your side. And I won't ask forgiveness for all the things that I've done, but the world's changed since you vanished with her.
Did you read the book, Before the Storm, the latest one from Christy Golden?
No, but I can't wait to read it.
Okay.
I literally can't wait to read it. I really want to read that. She's just so awesome. And the book has gotten really great reviews. So yeah, I'm looking forward to really getting into that.
Yeah, Savannah's has really, she gets even more depth with the entire build-up of the conflict that's ensuing with Battle for Azeroth. You definitely should go and read it.
Oh my gosh, yes. When you really look into the backstory, this stuff is so deep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes back and back and back, and there's so many details and things to consider. It's just like, oh my gosh, that's incredible.
They have their own lore department at Blizzard. It's like a department where they have to, like, I would guess, put in the scripts and then those people like fact check it and stuff, so it doesn't come out the wrong way.
Right, because there's so much to remember and so much depth to the history of the game.
Yeah.
But when we as voice actors going into something like that, when you are auditioning for a part, they give you a kind of a synopsis for you to sort of jump into what that character embodies, what they stand for, etc. But you won't get the whole story. So you'll go in there with some of it, and then you yourself won't even find out what's happening. There's so much of Battle for Azeroth that I don't even know today. I know what I worked on, and I know what happened with me.
Mm-hmm.
But Anduin, the decisions he makes, involvement with his cursory and peripheral characters that are interacting with him, these are things that I don't see.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that the voice actor doesn't see. And there's a reason for that. It's like there's a secret to it because it's kind of a surprise what's going to happen. So
oh, sure.
Even sometimes for us, we'll be like, oh, my God. And we won't know that till the day we go in to do the record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something coming out. I don't want to say what it is, but it's so cool, involving Sylvanas. And when we went in to do this thing, I had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
And it was such a cool experience that has to do with a bit of her story. And so I'm really excited for everybody to see that too.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for Tuesday to finally play through. I played on the beta server, on the test server. I played through some of the stuff that we get to play on the live servers. The thing that I was most looking forward to was obviously not part of the testing, which was the final cinematic. So what's happening as the conclusion is the fact that the world changes, but the changing itself, just stuff that I knew that I wouldn't be able to see. So I really, as a player, I can't wait for Tuesday to come around. Yeah, and
I know, I can't wait to hear what the players think,
mm-hmm,
and what their experience is. And, you know, then you start to see tweets and input and, you know, folks getting involved in their aspects of the game. And it's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. Another thing I would like to ask you, if you get the deal to do a character, is there a difference for you if you take over and create your own character, or as it was the case with Sylvanas, that you took her over from the previous actress?
I think that in this kind of realm, which it would be for Warcraft, Blizzard, and this character, and I would probably think for many of them, there isn't a ton of improvisation. Of course, you're bringing to it what you, your life experience, your ability to translate what it is they're asking you for. But there's not a lot of improvisation in that, you bringing an idea. It's the writers, you know, they're the ones with the story, the storyline, Christy, the writers, the developers, these guys are formulating that and then bringing it out to folks to do what is required for what is written.
Obviously, before I started with the script for this interview, I listened to the interview that you did back in 2012 with Matthew Dixon.
For
Juno's Corner and his podcast. And Juno is the creator of this podcast as well. So,
oh, cool.
And she wasn't able to make it, sadly. I would have loved for her to be here as well.
Sure.
But there is at least one question or a subject that you talk with Matt about. And I'm just frankly going to ask you the question. It's kind of out of left field, but...
it's all good.
And it's the wrong sport. But what's your favorite NFL team?
Oh, the Vikings. Hello. The Minnesota Vikings. I'm from Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota Vikings. What?
Oh, the
Skull Vikings.
They didn't do that bad this past season, so yeah.
It's hard to be a Vikings fan.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, you know, we always seem to get so close, and then it sort of collapses. Either that or some strange thing happens, and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, me being a Niners fan, it's like last decade or so, it hasn't been easy either. So, yeah.
Yeah, Niners are a great team. My agent is a big Niners fan.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we had our time in the spotlight, but
they're a really good team. And, you know, Kaepernick took them through there for a minute. They really were right on when he first came in. And, you know, it's tough. You can imagine how hard it is for them to maintain that kind of
level. Yeah.
I mean, it is that level. And when their contracts expire, and now you've got to think about getting new safeties and forwards and linebackers. And it's just like, wow, it's a real chess game.
Yeah.
Dealing with athletes, their health, their bodies, you know, that is a demanding gig. Yeah. But yeah, Vikings, Skull Vikings.
Hi, I'm Hazel. A new age of WoW leveling is almost here, so today I've got a brand new video sponsored by WoWhead bringing you a dozen tips to help you while leveling 110 to 120 in Battle for Azeroth. The first thing to consider is going to be your zone order. So there are three zones for your faction, and then an additional three zones for the opposite faction that you'll level as you go through the war campaign. All of them will need to be done eventually if you want to unlock flying one day and get your rep, so it's not that big of a deal what order you go in because you're going to want to do it all at some point. However, there are a couple things to think about. If you are coming into BFA leveling with raid gear and set bonuses and best-in-slot legendaries, then you want to do the tougher zones first while you still have access to all of those bonuses. Tougher, in this case, just means more mob density in questing areas and less forgiving scaling. For Alliance, based on what we know from beta, that means starting in Druzhvar and then going to Tyrgard Sound and then Stormsong Valley last, while for Horde, that means starting in Vol'Dun and then going through Zul'Dazar and finishing off in Nazmir. On the flip side of that, if you're coming into leveling with no raid gear and no set bonuses and maybe just the catch-up gear you got from Darkshore, and perhaps you don't have the best legendaries and you just have some legendaries or maybe even only one, in that case, you want to target those easier zones first and then tackle the harder areas later on once you've built up some Azerite gear and some Heart of Azeroth power. That just means flipping the order. So for Alliance, that means starting in Stormsong, then Tyrgard, then Druzhvar, and then for Horde, starting in Nazmir, moving through Zul'Dazar, and finishing off in Vol'Dun. Again, you're going to want to do everything eventually anyways, and the difference in difficulty between these zones is not that big of a deal, so if one area looks cool to you and you want to start there, then start there and don't let anybody tell you you're doing it wrong because it's not that big of a deal. Number two, don't get held up on problematic quests. I'm not going to point any fingers at specific quests because old bugs can be fixed, and I'm sure some new bugs will be uncovered when all of this content goes live, but if you're doing a quest and you are getting frustrated and you are dying and you are just not making progress, just walk away. There's probably something else that you can do. The questing is set up in BFA zones to be less linear than it has been in past expansions such as Warlords and a lot more hub-based, so you can just give up and go somewhere else and probably find something better to do and then come back to it later once maybe you have more gear or you have more time or you just have more patience. And of course, the other thing to check out when you're stuck is going to be the WoWhead page for that quest. Just look up the quest by name on WoWhead and then scroll down to the comments and there's almost certainly some kind soul that figured it out and then put some really helpful advice on how to do it. And if you were struggling and you did figure it out, be that kind soul. Be the hero that we all need and share. Tip number three, if you're not super attached to your professions, consider taking herbalism and or mining. And then as you level in BFA, just pick every node that you see because you get a little hit of experience every time you gather one. And for herbalism especially, there are a ton of gathering nodes out in Kul Tiras and Zandalar. You'll get extra experience and level faster while you're already out in the world questing, which is delightfully efficient. And especially early in the expansion, you can usually sell that stuff for some good gold. Tip number four, don't vendor quest reward gear. Don't do it. You will regret it, you will be sad later, and you will cry. Instead, hang on to it, and then whenever your bags start to feel uncomfortably full, just head back to Borealis for Alliance or D'Zara Lore for Horde. Stop by the Scrapper, pop your gear in, scrap it, and it will spit out trade mats. You can craft with those. You can sell those. You can sell those for more than you would have vendored the gear for. Don't vendor your gear. There is a scrapper. You don't need to have any professions to use it. It's not an Obliterum Forge. It's kind of like the Obliterum Forge, except that this one is useful. Tip 5, pick Azerite armor traits that are good for leveling. As you level, you're going to get pieces of Azerite armor, and the decision as to which traits to pick can feel like a big deal, and I'm here to tell you that it's not. You will get better Azerite armor fairly early on at level 120, so as you get Azerite armor while leveling, pick stuff that's going to help you level. If you're out there questing and you're dying a whole bunch, then pick stuff that is going to help you not die. If you're out there questing and can't kill anything, pick something that's going to help you kill stuff. If you're out there leveling and you keep going back and forth between tanking or healing for dungeon queues and DPSing for leveling, then pick traits that are good for both of those things and not traits that are spec specific. You're going to replace the stuff at 120 anyways, and even if you don't, you can respec it, so pick the traits that are good for leveling. Number 6, a tip for the PvP inclined, or for the brave, if you quest in war mode, you're going to get 10% more experience. If you really want to take advantage of that, and you don't really want to risk getting into too much world PvP, something that you could do is do a bunch of quests and get them ready to turn in while not in war mode. Go back to Stormwind or Orgrimmar and turn on war mode, and then go turn them all in. That will add a bunch of travel time to your life, and you're also going to be limited by the quest log cap, so don't feel like you have to do it, but if you feel like you want to, then go for it. I will say, if you're going to be leveling in war mode and you're kind of iffy on it, consider turning war mode off before you go off doing the war campaign that sends you out into enemy faction zones. You are much more likely to encounter enemy faction players while you're over there in their stuff. Remember that you can toggle war mode on or off anytime that you like, but you must be in Stormwind or Orgrimmar to do that. You cannot do it in Borealis or D'Zara, Tar, D'Lara, Azor, Alar, D'Zar, Alor. Can't do it there. Has to be in Stormwind or Orgrimmar. Number 7, speaking of the war campaign, that's something that I'm personally going to be trying to keep up with as I level. The war campaign is kind of our storyline questing campaign of BFA, and the early legs of it will take place in the enemy faction zones, and unlock a whole bunch of stuff, including transport to those zones for world quests later on. It'll give you rep, you're gonna need it done for flying one day, it unlocks stuff like war fronts and island expeditions and your mission table, and you're gonna need to do it eventually for a whole ton of stuff. So personally, I'm going to be doing it while I also get experience from those quests. Not everybody is choosing to go that route. Because of the travel time involved in those quest lines, you will probably level faster if you ignore them and then go back and do them later at 120, but you're gonna have to do it eventually anyways, so in my opinion, you may as well. Number 8. As you level, you're going to encounter rare mobs and treasure chests everywhere. Don't bother. They're not really worth your time. They're really not worth your time, especially while leveling. Going out of your way to kill those things can really slow you down, it can cause you to unexpectedly die, and it can cause you to end up in places that you don't really know how to get back from. And the experience is terrible. On top of that, many of those rare mobs will drop gear that scales with you as you level, and you don't really need it as you're leveling. You're gonna get plenty of gear from quests, but at 120, there may very well be a stubborn gear slot that you're just having the hardest time replacing, and you could really use gear from one of those rare mobs to fill in that slot. So don't worry about rare mobs, don't worry about treasure chests, come back and get them later. You don't need to worry about them while you're leveling. Number 9, in BFA, there is an experience gem. Right off the bat, jewel crafters will be able to craft an insightful Rubellite, which grants you 5% experience. This gem is unique equipped, so you cannot equip more than one of them within one piece of gear, but on beta, the experience bonus was stacking when socketed into different pieces of gear. Each one gives you 5% extra experience, so that can add up really quickly. I wouldn't be surprised to see a fix, and maybe they've already done this, where you can only benefit from one of those at a time, but even so, it's worth getting one of those and finding a piece of gear to stick it into, and then continuing to wear that piece of gear while you level, even if you could upgrade it to something better, just so you can keep getting that extra 5% experience. Also, if you have jewel crafting and you like making gold, I would look into it. Number 10, don't forget your guild banner. Throw down one of these bad boys for an extra 15% mob killing experience within a 100-yard radius for 15 minutes on a 10-minute cooldown. In BFA, a lot of the questing areas are fairly isolated with a lot of killing that you can do to work towards your quest within a 100-yard range, so you can probably take advantage of that pretty often. Also, if you're leveling with other members of your guild, you guys can work together to cover a wider range of area with that bonus, or stagger them out so that you drop one for one questing area, and then once you guys move on, they drop the next one. They don't stack, but they do benefit all guild members within 100 yards, so you can get creative. I recommend dragging it to your bar for easy cooldown management and deployment, and if you don't have one yet, here is where you buy them. The Alliance Guild vendor is here in Stormwind, and the Horde Guild vendor is here in Orgrimmar. In order to buy those, you will need to be at least friendly reputation with your guild, and your guild needs to have completed the A Daily Routine guild achievement, which, as long as your guild is not that new, probably has already happened. Tip 11, you will need at least friendly reputation with each of the three leveling zone factions in order to unlock world quests at 120, so prioritize that while you're leveling. If you're doing every quest you come across in a zone and also getting other experience from places like dungeons or herbalism or archaeology or whatever, you very well may not actually need to do the third zone, and if you never touch the reputation from there, then you're gonna need it at 120 anyways in order to unlock world quests. So prioritize getting at least friendly reputation with each of the three leveling zone reps. So for Alliance, that's Storm's Wake, Order of Embers, and Proudmoore Admiralty, and for Horde, that's the Zandalari Empire, Talon-G's Expedition, and the Voldenai. My last tip, which is just something that I found myself wondering about pretty early on while leveling on beta, is the location of the portals between Borealis and Stormwind, and Atal Dazor, Alar Zalar, Dazaralor, Dazaralor, and Orgrimmar. Here is the Borealis portal room. If you are in the Tradewinds Market, you want to go to the fountain, and then kind of walk towards the boat, turn right, it'll be kind of underneath in this room right here. That is the portal room, and then on the Stormwind side, your portal is in the Mage Tower. For Horde, your portal room is inside the temple, so you're at the Great Seal, you walk right in up to the big orange spinny thing, which I assume is the Great Seal, take a left and you are in the portal room, and then from Orgrimmar you just go to the Cleft of Shadows and you find your portal out of like all of the portals going on there. How does the Cleft of Shadows have more portals than the Mage Tower? I'll never know. The BFA faction cities are both big and winding and filled with layers and rooms and stuff, and it does take a little while to find your way around, so that's the first thing that I would recommend memorizing. Fresh leveling is going to be so much fun, I can't wait, and while this is a leveling tips video, don't stress out too much about doing everything as fast as humanly possible. We're gonna be leveling for like a week, and we're gonna be 120 for like 2 years. You have time, it's okay. If you don't want to do everything optimally, you don't have to, and if you do, then have fun. There's no way to enjoy BFA wrong, and there is plenty of time, so stay hydrated, eat healthy snacks, call your mom on her birthday, get enough sleep, and have fun. I want to give a big thank you to Wowhead for sponsoring this video. You can check out their BFA leveling guide linked in the description, and just, it's a great resource for any time that you're stuck on anything but questing in particular. Thank you so much for watching, and I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye!
If it was up to you, Patty, and we hope this never happens, neither you nor I are developers at Blizzard, so it's out of our hands. How would you like to see Sylvanas go? Would you want her to be a raid boss in a big fight, or would you like to have her go out like there was this instance where she got shot by Greymane, and then her Valkyr rezzed her?
Yeah.
And there's another big character, Garrosh, your predecessor.
I love Patrick Seitz, the actor who played Garrosh.
Yeah.
Patrick Seitz is such a lovely human being. Funny, fun, a great director. He directs as well a bit. He's awesome. But yeah, what happened with Garrosh, I don't want that to happen to Sylvanas. So I don't get to make that decision.
No.
You know, I don't want to, again, I wouldn't want to play into the fears or frustrations of any of the players or what they would have.
Sure.
I think it's more important to keep things positive and remind them that, the characters and designers have put so much thought into where so many of these characters are going. And, that they can expect to see twists and turns as the story develops that are, the cool stuff coming. But obviously, with her having been a Ranger General and a High Elf, I like her where she came from. And I like her original creation. I like that she was the middle child who became a tough Ranger General and was out there doing a solid before Arthas, and that whole thing happened. So I don't want her to lose her toughness, because I respect that in this character. I respect her fight. But certainly as a person, I love her. I mean, there's a piece of her that lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can even get choked up at a session sometimes when I see what these guys have created. And it'll really touch my heart, because I feel for this character's angst and what she's gone through and going through. Sort of the internal struggles and the battle that led her to where she is today. There's a real almost internal angst that's constantly in there for her. And it chokes me up sometimes, because I just really love her. So certainly I don't want anything really bad to happen to her. And if she turned exceedingly evil, I'd prefer she aimed more for her Ranger General soul.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand her need to... I just don't want her revenge to overtake everything.
Yeah.
Because I always envision her as someone who feels like she's fighting for the downtrodden.
Yeah.
Like fighting for those who've been victimized by something really messed up. But when you spend so much time fighting and you're so mad about what somebody did to you, how far could that take her? Only the writers know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... Yeah. Where does that take her? Again, they have put so much into this story that there's always going to be twists and turns. So even for me as the actor, look, some of that is really fun to play, because it gives us levels. It lets us really touch into the fury and then touch into, wow, is there some sensitivity here? Is there a level of feeling for anyone else? Where does that lead us within her? And so even for me, it's a surprise. I get to watch her unfold as they bring those aspects to life.
The thing with Sylvanas, something that you hinted at, her personality. For me, I've always thought of her, she had these decisions that had been taken out of her hands, so to speak. First, she became the Ranger General because Illyria didn't want it. Then,
but she embraced that and kicked it,
yes,
right?
Yes, but
she embraced it and was like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah, but basically she didn't have to do it, but she didn't plan for it because she wasn't the eldest sister. It wasn't her place from the beginning. So
So the question is, you often wonder, did she feel conflicted about a sense of responsibility or just sole choice? Like,
yeah.
I want to be a Ranger General, or, well, she's not going to take it. Somebody's got to do it, right?
Yeah, and exactly the same thing happened when she became a Banshee, and then she broke away from the Lichkin's grasp. She became, for lack of a better word, she became forced to do her thing with the Forsaken, the people that she freed by freeing herself or along with herself. So that wasn't her choice either, in a way. So it was the same thing.
It's an interesting story. But then she's in it, you know what I mean?
Yep.
In it, like with them as her station. So it's, how do you look at that? That she's fighting for not just herself, but for all the Forsaken, who represent something bigger,
mm-hmm.
like the downtrodden, like the Forsaken, the scorned.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines of hers is, "What are we if not slaves to this torment?"
Exactly.
When she says that, it was like, we, what are we if not slaves to this torment? So all of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a real meaning to all of that.
Yeah. And this is one of the reasons why you will love the book Before the Storm, because
I can't wait to read it.
It pulls on your heartstrings in exactly the way that you just described. That topic is being developed, talked about, portrayed by Christie. It's so awesome. And that's one of the main reasons why I love this book, is because it dives into the culture, if there is such a thing, of the Forsaken.
I say there is, even from the beginning of her being a part of that. I mean, more now than ever. But there are elements of all of this that I sort of felt like she always had. You know, even from the very start of taking her on, I felt like there was a piece of her that was not just bitter, but fighting for something bigger than just herself. And so as I watched the writers have her unfold, it's cool for me too. You know, you have your hopes for someone, especially mm-hmm. if you love a character.
Yeah.
But there's also a really neat and interesting challenge in, you know, really trying to bring to life. And you really hope that you are doing it in a way that does not disappoint a writer, or, you know, you really want to do justice to this incredible thing that they've brought to lay in front of you. It's like, I feel a vast responsibility, I guess you could say, to bringing that, what I can bring to it, so that folks understand her and it augments the game. You know, it elevates a cinematic or anything that she's involved in, even if it's a minor thing, that is the contribution that they hoped it would be.
Release your soul, become a creature of night. Eludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage. Hey, Eludra, do you remember the time that we went to the Grand Canyon?
I've never been to the Grand Canyon with you, Ben.
Yeah, you have. And, you know, Bobby and Cindy got lost and everyone went looking for them?
Ben, that was the Brady Bunch.
Oh. Well, what about the time we were going on vacation but stopped to play Trivial Pursuit with that bubble boy and you two got into that big argument about the moops?
Ben?
Yeah?
That was Seinfeld.
Oh, right.
While Ben's coming to term with real life versus TV, make sure to check out episode 129 of Battle Pets, Farewell to Legion, where we reminisce about our pet collecting, battling, and other experiences in Legion that brought us to our pet catching goals.
Okay. How about the time that Yakko, Wacko, and Dot became the rulers of Anvilania?
Ben, do you really think we're living in a cartoon?
No, I just really like that episode of Animaniacs.
Yeah, it sounds like you need an adjustment from my good friend, the Pickaxe.
Oh. I thought that we retired that with Legion.
Nope. Never!
What is your favorite Dark Lady moment?
You know, one of my favorite moments you haven't seen yet.
Okay.
But it's just... In a couple of weeks, I'll be like, that was it.
Okay.
You know, but there are a lot of really cool things. And this session that we had that I mentioned that Andrea was the head directed and had us do this improv. I would say that this is one of my favorite moments for her. And I just, when you guys see it,
mm-hmm.
you'll probably be like, that's it. That okay. must be what mm-hmm. she meant.
Okay. Is there a thing that you can talk about that was your most difficult moment with Sylvanas?
I think that this up-and-coming piece also embodies a little bit of that. It's a bigger challenge. You know, when somebody is handed a gauntlet like that in a game that is such a iconic thing for so many that love it, there's a responsibility in that. And all of a sudden, you feel like, oh, my God.
Like, yeah.
I need to make sure that I embody that mm-hmm. overall. So since she became War Chief, I feel like there's more of a demand. So certainly the responsibility's elevated. So, yeah, it's there are moments throughout that can be more challenging or difficult.
Yeah.
And there's one specifically that was really heartbreaking, but I can't tell you. Good. So sorry. Okay. I don't mean to do that. I'm not doing that on purpose.
Nope.
I mean, because as the characters evolved, I've gotten a chance to delve deeper into the processes and the storyline. And so
sure.
this, as that demands more on you, you're sort of pulled into the fray of that. And it so much of it is, I would say, coming. There was some good stuff in Heroes of the Storm, too.
Like you said, the Dark Lady becoming the War Chief. That was the third instance where I mentioned that it was not of her own choosing. So that was the triumvirate of big choices, big things happening that she didn't choose by herself. And I would even say it's the most profound of choices because, like Volgen so perfectly stated, she has to step out of her comfort zone. She has to step out of the shadows and lead. Which she doesn't want to do.
Nope. Isn't that funny?
Yep.
And there's a piece of that. It actually touches into my own life. It's really odd how that, you know, if you love an art form and you love to do it and you love to make a living or the aspects of making a living doing something that you love, but fame or fortune, I mean, fortunes, it's always lovely to be prosperous, but all the attention that something like that can bring when it is brought into the forefront brings along with it a whole new set of stuff. So I'm not someone who's ever been star driven, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the work so much. It's so much fun and such an honor to be able to work with these people who are just mega talented on so many fronts within this game and out in my life in general as a voice actress. Oh, it's just an honor to get a shot at doing that. But again, the more you know, it's easier to stand in the back. And you want to do what you do without getting too noticed. You know what I mean? There's that piece of you that wants to do well, but, you know, stepping out into that main space is a different responsibility, I guess. So one of my favorite moments was the session. I didn't know she was going to become War Chief. So when they showed me I didn't see the full cinematic finished when Vol'jin was on I went to the session just, you know, and I never know what I'm coming into, really. And so when they started it, it wasn't finished, but there was pieces of it that I was seeing. And I was like, oh, and Dave Fennoy played Vol'jin, and he's a friend. So it was so weird to be talking to Dave as Vol'jin, as me, as her, and have him say that to me. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, my God. It just, that was a really great moment.
Oh, I can't for the imagine. Character,
yeah, for playing the character and for going into a session and having them say, you're going to do this thing? I was like shell-shocked for the rest of the day. oh my God, what does this mean? What does this mean for Sylvanas? What does this mean for the game? It was great. But I was sad to see Dave Vol'jin injured. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit, Vol'jin's going down.
Yeah, that was a sad thing for many a player where he didn't really have his time in the spotlight really as much as many would say he deserved. So
yeah. What they might have liked to have seen.
Yeah, but again, we are not developers, we are not script writers, we just have to play or voice. So yeah,
I mean, and that in itself is such a it's such a lovely thing. But they have us. You know, they have us. That's what keeps us interested. It's what keeps participants interested. The game players interested. It's like any good film. You know, it surprises us. It takes us on a journey, and oftentimes that we don't expect, and sometimes really don't like. We're like, oh no.
Yeah, there are so many things in life that you cannot choose. You just have to bear with.
Yeah, you roll with it. Yeah, you know, you just roll with it.
Sylvanas is quite the contrarian character. Ask two different people how they feel about her, and you'll most likely get two different answers. She's either the best War Chief, or the worst, or just an attempt at Blizzard of putting a fan favorite character in the position of power. So, why Sylvanas exactly? Is she really as bad as people say? Why is she such a fan favorite character? Is she just the next Garrosh? Well, this video will attempt to answer all of those questions. Sylvanas started her story out as a pretty generic character, a standard stock fantasy princess elf ranger who was just a huge thorn in Arthas's side when he was trying to take the Sunwell. After her failure, Arthas turned her into a banshee and forced her to serve him while he destroyed her homeland. Later on, when Arthas's power was weakening, Sylvanas was able to break free of his control and nearly succeeded in killing Arthas before Kel'Thuzad came in and saved his life. With her home destroyed and all of a sudden in control of an army of undead and dark monsters, what was she to do next? Well, revenge against Arthas was a good start, so that's where she went from there. But seeing as the whole world just got done fighting a war against the undead Scourge and the Legion, they were not too keen on Sylvanas and her Forsaken's existence. Try as she might to convince her previous allies that they no longer served the Lich King, she was still shunned and, in fact, actively hunted down by everyone. No one wanted to work with a faction of undead, let alone leave them alive. Sylvanas was constantly surrounded by enemies on all sides who saw her and her people's existence as something that needed to be eliminated. But luckily for her, the Horde took them in. The Tauren were sympathetic to their cause and convinced Thrall to allow them in the Horde. They tried joining with the Alliance. A lot of the people, if not nearly all of the undead, were once part of it, but that was never going to happen. Many of the undead still have living family in other parts of the world that never want to see them again. The existence of the undead is nothing but being constantly shunned and horrified at. Even other members of the Horde don't really like them, just kind of tolerate them, and see them as disposable fodder to fight for them. But they don't actively try to kill them, which was a good point. Being born into the world as an undead is being born into a world of enemies. In the Undead Starting Zone, you're shown that all new Forsaken are given a choice. Join the Forsaken under Sylvanas, or go off on your own, free to do whatever you want as long as it's not directly harmful to the Forsaken or their allies. Or to be killed again. Most undead choose to join Sylvanas. Honestly, there's not really a practical alternative choice in the matter, but there are others who choose to do other things. One of the undeads goes off on his own and forms a rebellion against the Forsaken, which you're then given quests to help put a stop to. He was given the freedom to choose what he wanted to do, and he chose to fight Sylvanas, which of course meant he had to be put down. This goes to show that undead aren't forcibly bound to Sylvanas in the Forsaken, as the rebellion had quite a few followers and wasn't just the one guy. And another undead decides to go back to her home to see her family, but things don't go well for her. Her family sentences her to death, and sicks the rest of the Scarlet Crusade after her. But, luckily for her, she happened to be an incredibly powerful shadow hunter, and kills her captives and spends the rest of the zone hunting down her former allies. And even after you help her kill her father and get her revenge, she still chooses to not join the Forsaken. And the Forsaken let her go, because service is a choice. Life is incredibly hard for undeads, so joining Sylvanas is usually just their best bet. And the only undeads who manage to succeed on their own are almost always incredibly powerful on their own. Like Lillian Voss from the Undead Starting Zone, Alonis Fowl, a leader in the Priest Order Hall and the creator of the First Paladins, Meryl Fellstorm, a leader in the Mage Order Hall and an incredibly powerful mage in his own right with ties to Corona, and Gunther Arcanus, an undead lich who hangs out on his own island in the middle of the Terrasfall Glades. Not part of the Forsaken, but also left completely to his own devices. All that to say, while Sylvanas leads the undead follow her willingly and are not forced like the Lich King. And because they choose to follow her, she tries her best to look out for them in their best interests. After all, she's in the same boat as them. When the Horde and the Alliance go to Northrend to deal with Arthas, Sylvanas obviously shows up and throws in her support. But then her own men betray her and the Horde at the Wrathgate. While Sylvanas does help put a stop to Putrus and Varimothras, the betrayal still left a very sour taste in the mouth of the other Horde members who barely tolerated their existence in the first place. Things were not looking good for them, and losing the support of the Horde would be the end of them. And then the Lich King was killed, with Sylvanas not playing a major role in it. With the Lich King dead, she didn't really see a reason to keep on living. The entire world saw the undead as unnatural, and she didn't really disagree, so she threw herself from the top of Icecrown Citadel in a bid to commit suicide. But after dying, she saw hell, and it was a terrible place. Luckily, the Valks, who had previously worked for the Lich King, managed to bring her back to life, and one of them even took her place in hell. After seeing that, she knew what she had to do. She not only had to make sure she never ended up in there again, but to also make sure her people didn't share the same fate. Come Cataclysm, and Garrosh ordered Sylvanas to take Gilneas. The fight went very well for them. Sylvanas is a great military tactician who is not afraid to use morally gray tactics. But in the moment of triumph, she was betrayed yet again by a newly raised undead Vincent Godfrey and killed. The Valkyrie were able to bring her back to life once again, but they lost more Valkyrie the more they did that. And because of this event, Sylvanas became convinced that the Valkyrie were the future of the Forsaken. So, when she found out about a way to have the Queen of the Valkyrie be in service to her, she went up to the Queen Valk and asked very nicely if she'd join the Forsaken and help them continue as a race. Oh wait, that's not what happened. Because that would have been stupid as hell. She would have obviously, and very rightly so, have been turned down. So when she tried to enslave the Queen of the Valks, I mean, really, who could blame her? Her people were dying out, and the Valkyrie were the only way to replenish their numbers. She's willing to do morally reprehensible things for the sake of her people. Not to diminish what she's doing, mind you, but it's not like she's doing things just for the sake of being evil. She's doing them for the good of her race's continued existence. Because she has no choice. She can't nicely ask for help. Everybody wants her and her people dead. She has to be smart about every move she makes, and do things that other people might call evil. Otherwise, her people will die out. And what kind of leader shouldn't do everything for their people? She's just been given a shitty hand in life, and she's doing the best she can with it. Even when put in control of the Horde, she doesn't treat the other races with contempt. In fact, her people in Undercity think she's putting other races' needs over their own. And the other members of the Horde think she's putting the needs of her Forsaken over the Horde. No one is happy, but she still tries to treat the other leaders with respect, unlike Garrosh, who was openly hostile towards everyone besides orcs. Plus, she has the Horde's best interests at heart. Without the Horde, the entire world becomes their enemy. That's why she made the call to retreat at the Broken Shore. If she didn't, the Horde would have lost all of its leaders and crumbled. It's no wonder Vol'jin made her war chief. While her methods may be twisted, she cares about her people first and foremost, and the absolute best interest of her people is a continued Horde existence. So no one would be more motivated to keep the Horde intact and in power than Sylvanas, and no one would protect it harder than her. Plus, she's a proven leader with years and years of experience. I think people sometimes forget she probably has more leadership experience than all the other Horde leaders combined. Because before becoming undead, she was also Ranger General in Silvermoon, and elves are generally way longer lived than normal races. So, to sum things up, yes, Sylvanas does bad things, but she literally cannot let her race continue living without doing them. The whole world wants her and her people dead, and she wants them to stay alive. She has no choice but to play the bad guy, but still tries her best to respect the other leaders of the Horde in the process. Not that she's perfect, mind you, but she tries way harder than Garrosh ever did. Even if some of them don't approve with her methods either. The Alliance want her people dead, so it's no wonder she sees them as enemies. And she's smart. That's why she knows it's not a good idea to let the Alliance live so close to them on Kalimdor. Her starting a war with the Alliance is completely in character for her, because she's always done whatever she's had to do for the sake of the Forsaken. And there can be no happy endings for her. So, to answer the questions I proposed at the beginning of the video, is Sylvanas really as bad as people say? Yes, kind of. She does bad things, but for good reasons. Because there are no good options available to her. She can't choose a good path to go down. Why is she such a fan favorite character? Because she's complex and somewhat relatable. It would be easy to write off everything she does as her just being evil for evil's sake, but she actually has pretty good reasons for everything she does. And she's not allowed to be a good person with pure motivations like other races who aren't actively hunted by the rest of humanity. She also kind of has a soft side anyway that contrasts with her mostly dark personality. Like most of her Forsaken, she has living family members, and gets emotional when you bring her a locket from her sister, and will even sing a song for you. The best characters are usually multi-dimensional. Plus, she was a scantily clad female character in a fan base with lots of males, which probably added a bit to her popularity on top of her personality. Is she the next Garrosh? Not really, but there are some parallels, so I can understand the comparison. Garrosh wanted what he thought was the best for the Horde, which involved it being full of nothing but orcs. Sylvanas also wants what's best for the Horde, because the Horde is the only thing keeping her race from being wiped out. To this end, she wants cooperation from the other races, and doesn't want to get on their bad sides, which Garrosh did not care one bit about. But her methods of war against enemies are just as bad, if not worse in some instances. Even Garrosh didn't want to use the plague, which Sylvanas has no problems using. But then again, Sylvanas was against the bombing of Theramor, which Garrosh thought was an excellent idea. So, like I said, lots of parallels, but at the very least, Sylvanas doesn't want to go all Orc Hitler on everybody, and doesn't think undeads are superior, and just wants them to be allowed to live in the world. So, what do you think about Sylvanas? Did this video change your opinions about her, even if just a little bit? She's honestly a very interesting character with lots of story potential, and I can understand why people think she's evil. Because, after all, she does a lot of things that could be considered evil, but she does them for what she thinks are good reasons.
At the end, I would like to ask you to tell our listeners where they can find you on the internets.
My website is pattymatson.com. That's pattymatson.com. And on there, I have some fun and inspiration. I try to post stuff that's happening and do some posts on Twitter, you know, what have you, to keep up to speed on things that are going on. So that would probably be the best place to see that. But I'm also, you know, on YouTube / Patty Matson, or Twitter, I'm as Patty Matson, PattyMatson. In most realms, I have a Facebook fan page. It's listed under music, but I do post a lot of my voiceover stuff there too. I've dabbled a little bit with Instagram, but I find myself kind of going back to these other, you know, you try to cross-populate so that folks who are looking for that information can find it if they're interested. But please know that it is my great honor to be able to talk to someone who has the kind of love for the game and this character that you do. And I thank you for that. I thank everybody who loves her. I thank everybody who hates her, because they keep her alive with their passion for this game. And without it, each of us doesn't have a place to bring these things to life. it is, people don't understand, it's a great honor to do this. And you try to, you know, be available as much as you possibly can. Certainly life takes up, you know, its turn and you're busy working and things happen, but where I can, I will try to connect in ways like this. And I thank you for your patronage to your, to the game, to my character, and to even wanting to have me here, because there's so many amazing people in my industry that are just, they're terrific. And I'm just lucky to be a part of it, really lucky, really blessed.
Thank you very much. By the way, if someone, one or the other, would like to listen to your music, where would they be able to get that?
My original stuff, you know, I've done a lot of R&B. This is funny. In live music, people know me for doing things like Aretha or Shaka, or, you know, it's funny. But the songs that I wrote on my records, a little bit of that comes through on songs like Devil or Forgiveness, maybe. But those songs that came forth are a little bit of my own personal story, especially The Road, the record The Road. And I did a holiday record just because it's fun, and every year there comes up an opportunity for licensing for original holiday music. So that was maybe a, you know, calculated move, but I had those ideas in my head. But those three records can be, you can listen on my website, go to the music tab, and there's a player, and you can just scroll through the player and listen. Also on the records page, there are lyric booklets. So if you click on the lyric booklet, it has pages where you can read the lyrics and kind of enhance that. That's kind of fun if you're interested in what the lyrics to those songs are. And then there's iTunes. It's on iTunes or CD Baby or these kinds of venues. So if you wanted to get a song or download something, you know, you have the ability to do that inexpensively at those places. If anything sort of strikes a chord that you're like, hey, I really like that, take a listen. I mean, I love it when people, you know, give their feedback, or if they find something they connect to, that's cool.
You being a singer, and you just talked about your albums and about the holiday album you did, Juno told me, or asked me to ask you, let's put it this way, if you're going to do another holiday album.
You know, I would love to do that, because holiday records can be, I'm doing them for licensing, right? Trying to get licensing opportunities for that music. And obviously every year the holidays come up, and if it's good enough, it sort of doesn't die, you know. It doesn't necessarily become dated or sounding like it was from yesteryear, which, you know, can help you in some aspects. But if you didn't have great success as an artist and it didn't shoot up the charts to be highly recognizable, your place to make income is in licensing. And so holiday music, yes, would be a great place to grow that. But so far I haven't, but I might.
Yeah, because Juno says that, and rightfully so. I totally agree with her that she thinks it's, or for her, it's her very favorite holiday album.
I love the song It's Christmas. Listen, it's really unconventional. I wanted to do something that was kind of fun and rocking, just like Jing a Jing Jing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hear the starting of that, you think, Christmas, huh? But it's a little fun, a little funky,
yep.
And it adds this sort of fun, rockin', funky element to a holiday thing. I'm sure there's folks who really like it, and maybe others it's not their cup of tea, but it's certainly fun to do, right? It's you're aiming towards something really uplifting, really positive. This is always a good thing.
So thank you very much, Patty.
Thank you.
I've waited for this episode to come out for quite a while now. I recorded this interview with Patty, I think, on the 11th of July, so over a month ago. And with us going into BFA content in a couple of hours, at least from where I'm recording at the moment, it's going to be such a joyful experience. And with our Dark Lady having such a prominent spot in the lore at the moment, it's even better. I haven't been talking throughout the episode much because I wanted to let you people listen to the interview, and I'm talking way too much anyway during the interview. So I hope you enjoyed it. It's been my first major interview I've ever done, so bear with me if my nervousness has shown. Should there be more interviews to come? I hope so, but you never know. I hope that it'll be better next time around. But mainly, to end the show now, I would like to thank the contributors, the content creators of the segments we've had on the show today. First of all, obviously, I want to thank Patty Madsen. Thank you, Patty, for sitting down with me and having that talk. It was, I'm still at a loss for words when it comes to that opportunity that I was given. So I'll leave it at that. Also, we've had contributions by Blizzard Entertainment / Warcraft. We've had their Battle for Azeroth cinematic trailer and the Lament of the Highborn sung by Vanjie Gunn. I think that's how you pronounce her name. I hope at least. We've had our own Big Steve, Steve Gerard, with his two songs, the Dark Lady song and the Corpse Run Radio song at the end. Carvo350 with The Windrunner and Zandalar. We had Noble87 with the first part of the story of Sylvanas Windrunner, as is the short story that Dave Kosak wrote way back when, I think during Wrath or something like that. So yeah, like I said, first of two parts. So the second part will come in the next episode. Looking forward to that. And I just barely got it in. I noticed it was up. So that's why I had to postpone the release of the show for a couple of hours to fit that in, because I definitely wasn't sure as to when it was going to go live. And when I saw that it was up, I definitely had to get this in, because it's about Sylvanas Windrunner. So how can we go wrong with that? Anyway, we have two songs by Silver Latomi, one in cooperation with Rowan of Moonguard, which is Evermore, and the other one is Let None Survive, the Sylvanas' song. We also have Hazel from Hazelnutty Games with her BFA leveling tips from 110 to 120, 12 tips for faster leveling in BFA. We have Hero Moradex with Why Sylvanas is a Benevolent Ruler. I'll leave it at that. And then we have Charm with her awesome, awesome song, her original song, Teldrassil Burns. I'm not going to go into any of that now. I'm just saying it's an awesome, awesome song, much like the Jaina piece, the Warbringers piece. Even though I don't play Alliance, I've mentioned that last episode, I can appreciate the awesomeness of the stuff that people do that is related to the other faction. So there you go. Have a great launch experience. Until next time. Bye, everyone. I hope you have enjoyed your time with the Forsaken of Corpse Run Radio this episode. Should you have an idea for a little segment of your own, I would love for you to become part of the cast. Or if you are a creator of Warcraft original or parody music and would like to be featured on the show, contact us at corpserunradiomail@gmail.com or on Twitter at corpserunradio. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/corpserunradio. Contact information for our contributors is available on our website, crr.podbean.com, along with the links for the segments played on the episode and other information. Corpse Run Radio is a non-profit fan podcast. All segments, music, and sound effects are used with permission.
We're going to...
To.
Sexy with that straight back.
No hunch.
Mon, I'm freaking out.
This
blood troll going to attack.
Oh, no.
I never leveled a druid, but the thought is born. I wanna be a raptor in my travel form. Now gather up the trolls, let me blow that horn.
What?
Cause there's one sub race that I really want. The Zendalari, and the naval front. Makes me wanna say la 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 la.
La 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 la.
La, 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 la.
Dingo!
News and forum views, raids, music, pets, and lore.
We'll answer all your questions and then we'll ask more. Our in-depth information is deeper than the dark below. It's Quartzron Radio. Juno is the host with the most, and she's looking out for you. We hope you like our podcast. Hey, and thanks for listening too. Substandard guitar solo incoming. Send me your questions, and I'll answer them in song. If you like my answers, then I'm sure we'll get along. Send requests to toastcrawler@gmail.com if you please. Hope my answers make you smile and put your mind at ease. So please tell all your friends and everyone you know. It's Quartzron Radio.
Quartzron Radio.
Quartzron Radio.
Quartzron Radio.
Thank you for listening. Now go out, my minions. Let nothing stand in your way. Until next time.
I'm so sorry. Bye now.